I'm excited this morning to welcome a very special guest. Pastor Margie McDaniel is in the house this morning, and I'm excited to introduce her and welcome her because she's been a friend of mine for, I don't know, like 25 years, I think. We served, last church I worked at and served at, we served together, and we're a part of some ministries, and I've known her as a friend and as a peer in ministry for a long time, and I know this about her. She is a gifted and anointed minister of the gospel. A very compassionate pastor, and one of her greatest desires is to see people connect with the Father and connect with people around them from the heart. And so I know she's here on assignment, and she's here in a very timely way and has a word for us this morning. So I'm going to ask you guys to open your hearts, open your minds, and just welcome her as she comes this morning. Let's give her a hand.
Thank you.
Good morning. How y'all doing? I have to give you a little southern twang there. But I've been here long enough, I should have already lost it by now, but I practice it once in a while because I kind of like my southern roots. I'm really blessed to be here. I don't really usually say this, but I'm going to say it right now because I have the microphone, right? I really do believe I'm here by divine appointment today. I believe I have exactly what God is wanting to say to us today. I don't know if I've ever said that before, but it's the truth. I hardly slept at all last night, just toiling and turning, and because I knew God was changing my message, but I was too tired to get up and try to figure out what it all was. And so finally I got up out of the bed at like 5:15. I'm like, okay. And he completely changed my message. But that's okay, right? So then we know we got the right stuff tonight, or today, right? Are you glad to be here? Now, if you've never heard me preach before, which maybe some of you haven't, and that's okay, because you get to hear me today. I do a lot of preaching by inspiration. So that means if you were to look at my notes on my iPad, I probably have enough information to speak for maybe by 10 minutes. So what does that have to do with you? It has everything to do with you. A minister that speaks can only really get out what people are hungry for. Because I'm not anything without God pouring through me. So what I'd like to suggest is that you just look at me like a vessel. That's all I am. If you were thirsty and I handed you a pitcher of water and you were thirsty and you drank 3 glasses out of it, and then I asked you the next day, I said, did you see the design on that pitcher? Do you remember the flower? You're like, what flower? No. Why? Because you just wanted what was in it. You didn't care about the pitcher, right? So today, we all have needs today. We all have needs in our heart today. And I just believe, and if you'll believe with me, and you'll draw on God today, like for him to speak to you, for him to touch you, him to touch you. He could use a jackass, but he chose to use me today. Those two words are not synonymous, okay? So don't. But if you will draw on God today, and don't just get religious and shut down and go, okay, praise the Lord, whatever. That's great. She's a nice speaker. You don't need to remember me, but I want you to remember what God did in your heart on June the 21st, 2015, at Authentic Life Church. Amen? What I would like to say to start off with is to every man, whether you're just a son or if you're a son and a father, because this is Father's Day. And I want you to know that God has a divinely orchestrated plan for you. But so does the devil. The devil has tried his best to destroy men. He's tried to destroy their manhood. He's tried to destroy their self-esteem and their confidence. But God is here to lift you up today. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care how many mistakes you've made. I don't care where you are today. I'm just here to tell you, you're in a turning point today. My text scripture is Malachi 4:6. And it talks about the last days. And it says, in the last days that God will restore the hearts of the Father to his children. And he will restore the hearts of the children to their father. There's nothing quite like a father. It's a very powerful role. And you may be sitting here and you may say, Pastor Margie, this is going to be a really hard message for me because I haven't been a good father. Or maybe you can say, I've been a good father, but my father was terrible. This is a painful message. No, it's not going to be painful. You're not going to have an ounce of condemnation. You're not going to have an ounce of guilt because this message is going to bring peace to you. It's going to bring freedom to you. It's going to bring liberty to you. And I'm going to tell you the story of how God restored my heart to my natural born father. I was adopted. Restored my life and my heart to him and him to me. And he couldn't have been a worse father. So no matter how bad you think you are, or what mistakes you think you've made, hold on. Help is on the way. Amen? Yeah. You know, like I said, I was adopted. My mother died when I was a year old. My real father was alcoholic, so he couldn't take care of me and my three brothers. So my aunt and uncle adopted me. They wanted to adopt all four of us, but my brothers didn't want to stay with them. We were moving to Texas. They moved me to Texas. My brothers wanted to stay in Mississippi. They were much older. So I grew up in a home. My adopted dad was about as perfect as you can get. He hugged me every day. He gave me a kiss every day. He told me he loved me every day. And he gave me money every day. What more would a woman want? I'm not even joking. He would reach in his pocket after he told me he loved me, after he kissed me on the cheek, and after he hugged me, he would reach in his pocket and he would pull out change and give it to me every day. Father is the strength. Fathers are the strength of our nation. And just like I read to you, God's restoring things. He's restoring people's hearts. He's restoring things. And I'm gonna be really very open and honest with you today. My adopted parents would put me on a bus every summer. I know we don't do this anymore, but I was like, I don't know, I think probably 8 years old the very first time I did it. Put me on a Continental Trailways bus. We knew the driver. I'd sit right behind him, and off I would go to Mississippi every summer to see my brothers, my cousins, and my dad. But my dad would never be anywhere to be found. He knew I was coming, but he would always be missing in action. Me and my oldest brother would drive around town trying to find him. Sometimes we would. Sometimes we'd find him at a place where, a bar where he's drinking. He'd be so drunk he wouldn't even know I existed. That happened for years and years and years. He was a very angry man. He put a lot of guilt on me as a young child. He would blame me, try to blame me for loving my other father. And I didn't love him, so I had a lot of emotional turmoil in my relationship with him. It was very confusing to me. And then those were silent years. There was no real communication between me and my father. He never called me. He never sent me a card. He never sent me a gift. He was absent in my life in every possible way. And at some point, I began to shut him out emotionally. I no longer cared. I no longer tried. If you had asked me if I was hurt, angry, or had unforgiveness, I would say, no, I don't feel anything. I'm indifferent. I don't feel anything. Is this good so far? So I remember when I was 30 years old, it's like 5 years ago, I had just moved to Minnesota to become a television producer for the church that I attend right now. And as soon as I got here, God started working in my heart. And I actually started doing some counseling because I just, my heart was so hard. And I started doing some counseling and then God just started reconnecting me with my roots and helping me deal with things in my heart. And I remember exactly where I was. I was in my kitchen, a little apartment off of 494 Stonehill Apartments in Rockford Road. I'm sitting in my kitchen, and the Lord said, I want you to call your dad. I'm like, and I remember just like it was yesterday, I said, I'm not going to call him. He doesn't deserve my time, nor does he deserve my love. End of discussion, God. And he knew I was honest. I'm like, I'm not calling him. But here's what God said to me, and this is what he's saying to you. He said, neither do you deserve my love. Neither do you deserve my time, and neither do you deserve my forgiveness. I'm like, wow, you have a point, but I'm still not convinced. No, I didn't say that. And I knew at that point, God was telling me, you have to forgive him. And here's what I want you to understand. Forgiveness doesn't exonerate the other person for what they've done wrong. It doesn't, you're off the hook, I'm pretend you didn't do it. No, forgiveness frees me from that painful thing in my heart that relationship might have done to me. It releases me from that. Because having unforgiveness towards someone is like drinking poison expecting somebody else to die. It only affects you. It affects you in a very powerful way. And you may be saying, but Pastor Marge, you don't know my dad. He's done this. He did that. He wasn't there. I get all of that. I get that. But today's a new day. Right? It's a new day. So I did. I called my dad. And for a few years, the phone calls were painful for me. You know, I just thought, okay, great, I'm going to forgive him, and then everything's going to be great, and, you know, it's going to be daddy-daughter relationship, and nothing changed on his end. Very painful phone calls. We didn't know how to relate. I'd call, I wouldn't know what to say to him. He wouldn't know what to say to me. Oh, hi, Dad. Hi. How's the weather there? Oh, we got tornado warnings. Like, oh, that's terrible. Well, you stay safe now. And he'd say, what's the weather like there? Oh, it's snowing. okay, well, it's nice talking to you, Dad. I love you. He'd say, bye. And he'd hang up. So painful. I got to feel what it feels must feel like to God to love somebody and then not love you back. I also got to understand what it means to love someone unconditionally and to forgive them unconditionally, no strings attached. None. I didn't do good at it always, but I was a work in progress. See, when you forgive somebody, God starts a deep work in your heart. And so, it was in my heart that God did the deepest work. I thought, great, I'm gonna call my dad up, and God's just gonna change his life, and everything's just gonna be great. But many times when God starts doing something in our life, that's why it's so important to trust him and to be able to walk by faith. All that means is that you can't always tell if God's working by what you feel and by what you see, because I saw nothing. Nothing changed to my eyes. And yes, I did get angry. I got angry. Because here I am reaching out, loving him, doing all these things, and he's not doing anything back, so God had to work in my heart. Is God working in your heart? What about your dad? If you just think that you can just blow off how you feel about your dad, and you're just going to go and have a great life, you're just going to have great kids, you're wrong. Because a father wound, if not rightfully dealt with, will destroy your life. You'll be constantly trying to prove something to someone, him. It'll make you angry, it'll make you hard-hearted, it'll make you bitter. So just let God just talk to your heart today. Just let him talk to your heart. Is this good? I begin to see a glimpse of his heart because I'd forgiven him. I no longer just saw him as this horrible father. I started to see his pain. I started to see his fear. I started to see his insecurities, his shame, his anger, and his emptiness. And he said nothing about any of that, but I could feel it. I could see it in him. One day, God began to speak to me about my father. Because now I was open, I could hear him. So you can't hear God speaking to you about a situation that you won't be open to. You have to be open. One day God said to me, he doesn't know what a good father looks like. He doesn't know what to do with you. He's never seen it. Now I saw even more of my dad's heart. I saw more what God was doing. Because see, his dad was absent. And his dad was alcoholic. He was just repeating all that he knew. See, God put his own heart in me for my daddy. And I pray that today, that he will put his heart in you for your daddy. And every situation is different. Sometimes there's been abuse and you can't have the proximity of closeness. I don't know that. But you can love your daddy in your heart. And you can forgive him, because I'm here to tell you, it'll change your life. This is the same for the women. I was in a journey with my dad. I'm a girl. I was in a journey with him. It affected me. I was in a journey. But I started getting a journey with that father. He was the perfect father. He actually was the father that I was searching for. I was saved then, but I didn't understand that God is my daddy. And so let anger begin to leave me, because I realized I have this. And I'm trying to find something from a man that does not know what I'm looking for, because he's looking for the same thing. So it gave me compassion. And you may go, I can't forgive my dad. You don't know what he did. But do you know what Jesus did to forgive you? If you just let it release you from that, just to release you from that, release him. Today's Father's Day. What a better day. Where is there? There's not a better day than today, just in your heart to say, Lord, I forgive my dad for everything. I just forgive him. And I can still hear people saying, I will never forgive him for what he did to me. Never forgive him. You have no idea how much those words will imprison you. And you will be exactly the same type of father in many ways, because it keeps you connected to that. When you could just let go of it today. Your father doesn't have to change for you to forgive. Because he's restoring now. He's restoring the hearts of the fathers back to their children. So it wasn't long after that, I had the privilege of praying the prayer of salvation with my dad. But what opened my dad's heart to him was my love for him. He could not believe that all he had done, that I actually loved him and that I would actually forgive him. But what greater message of the gospel could he possibly hear from his daughter than, "I don't care what you've done. Today is all that matters, and I love you." Is this good? So like I said, it's a process. God worked in my heart, but God started working in my dad's heart. We started having short conversations, really short. Plus, my dad was an introvert, so that made it even more challenging. You know, those one word, "How are you feeling today, Dad?" "Good." "What are you doing this week?" "Not much," you know. But I'm like, okay, at least he's talking to me. That I was happy he's talking to me. We started having conversations. And here's another thing we have to understand when we're dealing with our fathers is they're not mothers. Some women relate to their husbands like they would their girlfriend. Guys are guys. They're not girls. They're not wired the way we are. You know, you can't expect a man to start telling you how he feels and he doesn't feel anything. What are you thinking? He's thinking nothing. Our minds run crazy 24/7. How could he not be thinking anything? And how could he not know how I feel? He doesn't. Thank God they're not like us. Right? God's made men different. So my dad started opening his heart to me. And he started sharing his life with me. Now granted, I'm a communicator. And I felt more free to just talk to my dad. I started asking things about my mother. I started reaching into his past that would have been good memories with him. I wanted to know this man. I wanted to know this woman that I looked just like, act just like, never knew her. She was actually holding me when she died. So there's this bond that I had. And he's the only one that could tell me the things I needed to know. And he loved talking about her. Because it was the most beautiful part of his past was her. She was a good woman. So he loved talking about her. So we started bonding. And then he's a guy. You know, he wants to talk about what he does for his job. That's the way God's made men. He made you to love your achievements and what you accomplish in your work and with your hands and your mind. And so I would talk to my dad. He would always go out on the oil rigs. And he was so proud of his job. And he wanted somebody to be proud of him. He didn't have a dad to say, "I'm proud of you." His dad was dead. But I gave him what he wanted and he needed. I let him know how proud I was of him. I let him know how proud I was that he was my dad. You're like, "Why would you do that? He's done nothing for you." You know what? You respect and honor your father because he's your father. Just the role that he has in your life should exude honor and respect. Just because of who he is. I don't know what time it is. Are we doing okay? I have till one, don't I? Just kidding. Then my dad started talking about his present life. We started with his past and we came forward. He started talking about He had a really compassionate heart when I really got to. He had a lot of compassion, very compassionate. You know, a lot of his friends were alcoholics and their lives weren't going anywhere. But he would get attached to their little grandkids, and he built his life away from his family because he had too much shame to build a life with us. So he built a life with these people. Granted, it was a big switch for me, but I would go to him to some of these places. We go to some of these people's homes, and just so much poverty, so much. But he loved his life. He loved these people. And see, when you really let God work in your heart, you start letting him love that other person for who they are. Not who you want them to be, not who you wish they would be, but just who they are. Doesn't everybody want somebody to love them exactly how they are today? You can't go back. You can't go back and fix anything. You can't expect your father to go back and fix anything. You can't go back and fix anything as a father. All you have is today. But you do have today. You have today. That's good preaching, Pastor Margie. I'm telling you what, this is good stuff right here, guys. And I remember like it was yesterday. Some of my family, we went to Mississippi to see our other family in Mississippi, and we drove, and we were driving away, and I was sitting in the back seat, and I turned around to wave at my dad. Oh, I'll try to tell this without crying. And he had tears falling down his eyes. And I thought, God, you reached him. You found a way to reach this man that was so alone. Just like you reached me, you reached my daddy. And he's in heaven today because of his love. And I thought, oh, that's my daddy's heart. And it just did something in me even deeper. And then I started talking about my dad, talking to my dad about forgiving himself. He had so much shame. He had so much. Sorry. He had so many regrets. And I could feel the pain of those regrets. Because during this time, he only had one son left. I had three brothers. He had three sons, and two of them died with lung cancer. He only had one left. He couldn't go back and do anything with his sons. They're dead. And I would begin to talk to him. Dad, you gotta let go. All we have is today. Don't waste today because of yesterday. Don't waste today. I'm telling you this, if you're a father, if you're a son, don't waste today because of yesterday. Don't waste it. You can't control another person's heart, but you can pray for them and you can love them. And you can love them and not repay evil for evil, but overcome evil with good, because good always overcomes evil. Sorry. I got a little emotional there. Doesn't bother me. I hope it doesn't bother you. And by the way, strong men do cry. If you were brought up with the lie that a real man doesn't cry, that's why you're so shut down emotionally. That's why men can have a hard time even sharing anything, because you've been taught you don't share your feelings and you surely don't cry. Well, then Jesus must have been a wimp because he cried. I have more respect for a man that's not too prideful to show who he really is. That's all you got to give your children. That's all you've got to give your father, is who you really are. You don't have anything else. So me and my dad, we got close. He started telling me he loved me and, you know, but about, let's see, probably 7 years ago, his health took a a big nosedive. And he was in and out of hospitals. And so I bought him a cell phone, and I paid for it. He kept it right in his top pocket. And I called him every day at 9 o'clock in the morning. And if I didn't call, he would call me. Well, I was wondering if you're going to call. I'm like, Dad, it's 9:10. But the bond began to grow. We had to put him in a nursing home, and God supernaturally moved, gave him spirit-filled nurses. I mean, he had so much favor. God just touched his life in an extremely powerful way. My brother, that was still alive, hated him. Like, I never felt those things. My brother hated just the mention of his name. I'd be talking about Daddy. He goes, I said, have you seen Daddy? Nope, haven't seen your dad. I'm like, he's your dad. He's like, he's not my dad. He's your dad. I don't want him. I don't want anything to do with him. Oh, it would be so painful for me. But I understood how he felt. I understood. But I'm like the peacemaker trying to restore the relationship. And, you know, it's straining my relationship with my brother. But I'd talk to my dad. I'd be over here talking to my dad, you know. If you call Billy, do you ever? And he'd have a few choice cuss words, and it was just tense. But my dad's heart started to change. And he'd ask me, you seen Billy lately? You talked to Billy lately? I'm like, why is he asking that? God started working in his heart. And God really started working in my brother's heart. I found out he was actually going to see him. But he wouldn't tell me, though. Like, he's secretly visiting my dad. But he still was pretty hard. No, actually, before he started seeing my dad, that's right. They had to rush my dad to the hospital. And I lived in Texas. This is Mississippi, where my brother lived, too. He wasn't connecting with my dad. And I was very desperate for my dad to have a connection. And I told my brother, I said, can you go? He's like, hey, you know, his choice words. I said, will you just do it for me? Will you just do it for me? I can't be there. Will you do it for me? Ain't no way he's going to tell me no. I'm his baby sister. How'd he tell me no? Well, he went. And that's actually what started, because my dad almost died. And that affected my brother. So God started healing, started working in their relationship, just kind of working in it. Is it too much for y'all? Can you handle it? Yeah. Is it helping? Yeah. So months later, my dad was only given just weeks to live. So I took off work, flew to Mississippi, was going to be there till my dad died. But just to show you the big difference in what God had done in my dad's heart, I'm sitting up in his bed in the nursing home. And you just, if you know me, this is pretty practical of me. But I'm sitting up in the bed with him, and very close now. I'm singing. He wants me to sing Amazing Grace, and I'm singing all these songs. And we're eating Oreos and Coke. My dad loved Coke and Oreos. We're just sitting in the bed. And just singing, and God's presence was so precious in that room. But it was a journey. It was a journey. And then my dad went to heaven. My dad went to heaven, and I did his funeral. In fact, I've done all my family's funeral. All my family that have died the last 15 years, I've done all their funerals. No, I don't love funerals, but Who could do a funeral better than a family member, right? So I was sitting up there. And there sit my brother. He looked like a little boy sitting there. And I remember, like, time just stood still for me. I was so thankful that God got through to me so I could get through to my brother. Their relationship got restored. It was so powerful to see. He'd hug my dad. My dad gave him what he wanted because he gave my dad what he needed. There's nothing more painful than somebody that's messed up and somebody else won't let them out. They hold it against them. It's horrible. You might go, wow. Ooh, this is heavy. Not really. It's just real. It's just real. I wanted to make you think deep. I wanted you to feel. I wanted you to feel the pain. Because when you feel the pain, you know something's not good in there. And you may go, well, I can't forgive my dad. He's in heaven already, and you can forgive him. You still got time. You still got time for God to restore your relationship with your dad. Well, what if he doesn't respond back? Well, if you're doing that to get that, that's control. Give him what you've been given. He gave it to you freely. He didn't know if you'd ever love him back. He forgave you. Gave you a clean start. Didn't know if you'd ever really want a close relationship with him. You could have said, okay, I got Jesus in my heart and I'm going to live like hell, but I'll come to heaven later. He didn't know if you'd... Same with your dad. Same with your children. Remember the text I started off. This is the day of restoration. And God's restoring the hearts of the children to their father and the hearts of the father to their children. Amen.